Again, I'd like to just extend a warm welcome to all newcomers to our parish. And if you are a newcomer, please introduce yourselves to me or to one of the staff after Mass or at some point in time, because we have a little welcome gift, a welcome bag that we want to give to all newcomers. And today in the Gospel, Jesus tells his followers that you are the light of the world. And let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In other words, that they may see your good works, let your light shine, so that they may come to the Father, that they may come to God. And with this simple statement, I think Jesus is telling us who we are. He's giving us our identity as Christians, and he's giving us a job to do. He's saying you are called to be a light. We're called to be a little light of Christ in this world, and our job is to let that light shine before others, to be a light in the lives of people, in our family, at school, at work, in the community, and in the neighborhood. And when you think of it, this is a wonderful thing that Jesus is calling us to do, because light is the very first thing that God created. In the book of Genesis, the very first thing he said was, he created was, let there be light. And so light, in some mysterious way, represents God himself. And when we think about light, we associate with light with understanding, with being able to see clearly, with warmth and heat, with comfort, consolation, with joy, and even with life itself, because if there was no sun, there'd be no life on earth. Darkness, on the other hand, is associated with the lack of clarity, confusion, turmoil, uncertainty, unhappiness, pain, coldness, and even death. And so reflecting on this difference between light and darkness, it reminded me of something that I experienced many, many years ago. My father and I were on holidays, and we were in South Dakota, and we came across a sign advertising tours of Jewel Cave. And Jewel Cave is apparently the third or the fourth largest cave system in the world. It has over 120 kilometers of tunnels and caverns. And so we took the afternoon to take this tour, and we went by elevator 400 feet down into the earth. And when the elevator opened, it opened up into a large kind of cathedral-like cavern. It was all lit up with spotlights. There were pools of water. There were different rock formations, different tunnels and paths going off from the cavern. And the tour guide did a good job of taking us around and explaining things to us. And then at one point, he said, okay, now I want everybody to stand really still and don't move, and we're going to turn off the lights so you see what it's like down here with no light. And when the light went off, I've never experienced anything like that, and nothing since that time like that as well. It was just pitch black darkness, much, much darker than the darkest night in the evenings. You couldn't take a step, and you didn't want to take a step because you absolutely lost your sense of bearing. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And I know this at the time, I was thinking, this feels weird, but I can feel the darkness. I could feel it, and it was like oppressing me. And I wanted to take my hands and push it away. And I thought, well, that's silly. You can't push darkness away with your hands. But that's how intense the darkness was. And so everybody breathed a sigh of relief when the lights came back on. Now, many, many people, I believe, have that kind of darkness in their hearts and in their lives. They're struggling with problems or circumstances that are beyond their control. They see no way out. They may feel alone, and they want to somehow be able to push this darkness out of their hearts and out of their lives, but they're not sure how to do it. Let me just share with you a few examples. I've run into these since Christmas, just within the last month. A middle-aged wife who has a very responsible job and is often required to work overtime hours. But at home, she has a very ill husband and who really can hardly do anything at all for himself. And so the combination of the two exhausts her. And she has no family around to be able to help her, and she doesn't see a way out. A young person, now this maybe has never happened to you, but just imagine this, a young person who feels frustrated living at home and who feels suffocated by their parents' rules and regulations. They feel their parents are making all their decisions for them, including who their boyfriend should be. And they are old enough to be able to move out and on their own, and they should be, but their job doesn't provide them with enough money to do that. And so they feel stuck. I've run into three people in 3 weeks who are either considering or were offered MAID. And MAID, as you know, means medical assistance in dying, so assisted euthanasia. One, thankfully, said no. The other one said yes, and there was nothing I could say or do to get her to change her mind, and about a week ago, she was killed. There's another one who said yes, that's scheduled to be killed this week, and I'm supposed to see her this afternoon and try to talk to her and find out why she wants to do this, look and see if there's other options, and tell her that this is not a good idea. I mean, Scripture says that those who kill will not see the face of God, will not get into heaven. Those who either do it or assist in it. And so this is really serious. So maybe you can pray for her, if you think of it later on today, that her heart be open to some conversion. Also ran into a person who went through a medical procedure that left her almost blind. And she's really, really struggling with this new reality and needs lots of encouragement, lots of support, and does not have it. And so these are just, in the last few weeks, some situations. So there's lots of situations like this around. And Jesus is calling you and me to be a light in those people's darkness. And how do we do that? Well, I think, first of all, just simply listen to them and their story. We may not have the answer, we may not be able to help them, but just by listening, it communicates to them that there's somebody who cares enough to listen. And that alone is a support. It's kind of like Mary under the cross of Jesus. There was nothing she could do to change the situation, but she was just there in support. Secondly, then be willing to accompany them, befriend them, give them a call once in a while on a regular basis. How's it going? Include them somehow in something that we're doing in life. Just to show, and if we can, show them kindness. and so I think this is the very first and necessary step before we can even think about evangelization. Because if people have not established a relationship of trust with us, if they think we don't care, why should they listen to us about when we share with them about faith or about Jesus? So the first step in evangelization is to listen, to establish trust, friendship with people, accompany them, and then later on at some appropriate time, we can share our faith and they will be open to listening. I think the Crucio movement summarizes that idea very nicely. They tell their members, they say, first, make a friend, then be a friend, an ongoing friend, and only then bring that friend to Christ. And I think there's a lot of wisdom behind that, because that's how things seem to work. So I just want to conclude with a true story of a 15-year-old boy who really took this to heart. He was in high school, just 15 years old, but he really believed in Christ and wanted to let his light in Christ shine, and he was looking for ways to do that. And he wrote this about one incident in his life. He said, "As I was waiting at the school gates one morning, I saw a man pushing a shopping cart full of scrap metal and junk. I approached him and offered him my sandwich. But when he found out that it was a chorizo sandwich, he said, "No, I don't eat chorizo. I'm a Muslim. Chorizo is spicy pork sausage sandwich." So he thanked me anyway, and then he disappeared pushing his trolley. Well, thinking that I might meet him again the next day, I was prepared with a cheese sandwich. And when I did see him the following day, I offered it to him. He was grateful, and we sat down on the curb, and he told me that he was from Senegal. He was married and had two children, but he left his country for political reasons. And now he had to collect junk in order to get by. But he missed his family and was considering going home again soon. So I listened to his story, and when we finished eating, he asked me for my email, and then he said goodbye. A number of weeks later, I received an email from him. His name was Abdul, and he was back in Senegal. He now had a job. And as the school year was beginning, he was looking to find a new school for his kids. He said that he told his wife about me and said that he wanted his children to grow up to be like me. So he looked on the internet to see what kind of school it was I was going to. He found out it was a Catholic school. So he and his wife went, met the priest, enrolled his children in Catholic school, and now they're planning to take classes to learn about the Catholic faith. And he ended me by thanking me for showing him such kindness, understanding, and caring. Now, that's just a boy, a Christian armed with a cheese sandwich. And he had the light of Christ in his heart, and he was willing to let that light shine for others. And it had marvelous results. So the darker that our world becomes around us, the greater the need is for us to let our light shine. And we begin by offering people a listening heart, show them caring, understanding, and then accompany them and befriend them. And that's the very first step. And only then will evangelization and sharing our faith be effective in their lives. And this is something that we're all called to do. Based upon whatever our circumstances are, and we're called to do that because of our baptism. And so may Mary, the protectress of faith, keep our faith strong and pure. And may Mary, the star of the sea, also keep our hearts aflame with the light of divine charity.